Hey friends, this is We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Joy.
And welcome to our Conversations with Oscar series, where we will be going through this year's Best Picture nominees and giving our unfiltered thoughts on each of them. Today we're discussing Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, starring Michelle Yeoh, Ke Kwe Kwan, Stephanie Hsu, and Jamie Lee Curtis. Written and directed by The Daniels, along with Best Picture, it's nominated for Best Director Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, Best Actress Michelle Yeoh, Best Supporting Actor Ke Kwe Kwan, Best Supporting Actress Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu, Best Original Screenplay Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, Best Film Editing Paul Rogers, Best Costume Design Shirley Kurata, Best Original Song, This Is the Life, music by Ryan Lott, David Byrne, and Mitski, lyrics by Ryan Lott, and Best Original Score by Sun Lux. With 11 nominations total, this is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
This is a life.
Every possibility
from destiny.
I choose you and you choose me.
Not only what we saw.
So, guys, what do we think of this movie?
I hated it.
It was awful.
Can you imagine?
I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. I know I have notes and everything, but I feel like I don't even know where to begin.
It's really, the title is so, like, painfully accurate to what this is, because it really is everything you could ever put from everywhere all happening at the same time. Like, there's so many, all the emotions, all the visuals, all the feelings, all the thoughts, all of it just smushed into like 2-ish hours. It just, it's all of it, and it's so fucking great.
But on another level, it's like, this movie has so much happening, but on another level, it's about everything, and that everything is like love.
Yeah.
It's love everywhere, all the time, all at once. So it's like the grand idea and then like the simplified idea. I just love how smart this movie is. I love how smart the script is. I love how curated and it is. It's just so fucking smart, and I love it.
Yeah, we always talk about wanting to have, like, originality in movies and something different than a franchise or remake or reboot or sequel, and this is exactly that. Like, it's the core of it, you know, a family drama and parents not understanding children and vice versa. That itself isn't unique, but the way that the story is told is unique, and that makes it on a whole nother level. It just, it could have been such a jumbled mess, but props to the editing department, which probably, that, what a job they had. You can tell there is so much love in every part of this. Every crew member, every actor, everybody working on this movie genuinely loved it. And you can feel that in the movie. You can feel that in the work.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and as I read, like, more reviews about it, how it's simultaneously universal, but also, in a way, happens to connect with everybody, like, in a very specific way, even though the specific ways are different for all of us.
Yeah.
It's, like, both universal and particular to each individual that watches it. It's so, like, how do you manage to do that? Like, how do you manage to, like, get into, like, the minds and the hearts of what people, what it is, and still, like, still make something that's so good and so fucking funny?
Like, right, and it manages to be meaningful without being cringe.
Right.
Which is, like, another level of, like, high end that I'm just like, wow, that this, again, it could have been so cringe and so like, but it was, everything was just hitting just right perfectly.
I know I've talked about it on this podcast before, and neither of you have seen it, but their first film.
Swiss Army Man.
Swiss Army Man. Did you see the name escape my brain?
Yes.
Swiss Army Man is so great, and it has a very similar feel of being ridiculous, but also being so poignant and so meaningful while it's also a farting corpse. like, it shouldn't work, but it does. My dad just told me that he watched it recently. He was like, I saw this weird-ass movie, but it was, like, really good. And I was like, if you liked that, you have to watch this. So I haven't talked to him in a few weeks. So hopefully he's crossed this one off his list. Because if you like that, if you like this, you'll like Swiss Army Man and vice versa.
I definitely have it on my list. I definitely want to watch it.
It's fun.
Doesn't Paul Dano like give you the creeps though, Joy?
Ooh, we'll talk about that in the next episode. I have thoughts about Paul Dano now. But we'll save that for the next one. We're not, this is not about
teaser
him.
Teaser for later, everyone.
Ooh. There are so many. So I watched this last April when it came out. And then I watched it again like 2 weeks after that because I had to see it again. And then I hadn't watched it until, until just recently. And then I finally saw it with like, you know, film eyes. And I was like, oh, okay, I can't totally detach myself to not feel things emotionally about it and just, like, analyze it. But, like, I was like, oh, I noticed all these things that I didn't notice before because I was too busy crying. So what I noticed, actually, whenever the first fight with Evelyn and the tax lady, and she has to tell her she loves her in a meaningful way in order to jump. The I love yous echo in the forest. Yes, that's what this is for. And I was like, I did not notice that the first two, three times. It was so smart. I was like, oh, that, wow, like another layer. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, the score is really inventive. Like, what's really cool that I liked about it is the very first scene where Wayman is fighting, you know, his fanny pack. It sounds like it sounds like a electronic western. Like if a western was set in space, that the score reflects that. It's so interesting. There's so many layers in that score. Like they even take the part where Stephanie Hsu says, you know, she sings something like it's a bagel or something. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but she sings
sucked
like
into a bagel.
Yeah, sucked into it. She sings it. They have that. The Mitski, who is the featured artist on that song that we just played, she sings that part in part of the score. And it's just very quiet, but you hear it in the movie. Yeah, that score is so interesting. I always appreciate a score that has so much personality and, again, doesn't overshadow the events of the movie. It just fits so perfectly.
You and I both kind of mentioned, because Crystal and I, we watched it together when it first came out in April, and then we rewatched it again together last week in preparation for this. And we both said after the movie, like, we were able to notice the score so much more because there is so much happening in the movie and it is so emotional. Like you were saying, Joy, it's hard to pick up on details that first time around.
Yeah.
So that's what was really fun about this second watch. I picked up on a lot of those little things like the I love you chorus. And one of my favorite moments that had me cackling was when she's jumping back and forth, kind of in the beginning part of the movie. Wayman's like, every time I try to talk to you, you're pulled away. And as he's saying that, she's pulled back into another. She's actually literally pulled away into another dimension. And I was like, that's just so smart. And it's so funny. I loved all of those little moments that I picked up on this time around. Very fun.
Speaking of the score, I love that, like, who would have thought putting Claire de Lune in, like, the most... In the second time around, it's like in a very like poignant, like emotional moment. But the first time, I can't remember what it was. I don't know if you guys remember what was happening when they first played it. But I think it was when she like
says I love you to the tax lady and everything slows down and she's like fighting while Claire de Lune is playing. I was like, whose brain is this smart? Like, their brain is not broke. Their brain is functioning super well and they're so creative and they're coming up with this cool shit. Like, I would have never thought to play Claire de Lune during like a fight scene.
If you listen to the entire score, Claire de Lune is like peppered in throughout the whole thing. It's a little bit of the piano here and a little bit of the instrument here. Like, it's just, it's funny because like the whole score is like the story too. Like, you could just listen to it and you feel the story as well. So good.
So I lost all train of thought. this isn't my first piece of media to involve an everywhere and everything bagel. Oh,
okay. I was like, where are you going with this?
That is everything and that you can be sucked into / consume.
What?
Hi guys, I'm Anna and I'm a nerd. I watched
Dimension 20. Already.
I watched Dimension 20, which is a D&D actual play show. And they did a season called The Unsleeping City. And in The Unsleeping City, it's set in New York and there's like magic in New York, but it's hidden. Anyway, but in it, they come across an everything bagel that can be used to predict outcome and events. And then if you consume the bagel, then you are releasing your consciousness and it is spread across the universe and you become aware of everything. And so when I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, I was like, wow. It's weird that this has happened twice.
That's so funny. Strange.
I love it. Everyone check out Dimension 20 on Dropout. It's the best.
Yeah, the idea of it being in an everything bagel is hilarious to me. Also, a lot of this movie was so stupid, but I loved every part of it. Like, it was like, this is so silly. This is so stupid. All of it is just so great.
You know what? Like, whenever they're in the tax office, as soon as Deidre points over to like her awards in the back, I was like, oh my God, this is going to come back to haunt us, isn't it? And then when it actually happened in the fight scene, when it was like alluding to what he was going to do, I was like, no, no, no. And it was so fucking funny. I couldn't stop laughing the whole time. It was just so stupid and so funny. I'm like, who's going to make dildos that funny? It's just, it's like not, like how? I was dying. I was cackling. I could not. I'm pretty sure I missed parts of the film because I was just like.
So funny.
I just couldn't contain myself. It was so funny. Like everything that they do is so silly, but like with purpose, with intention. Like when she's fighting the cops and then the cops just like explode into glitter. Like, cool. All right. That's fun.
It's so random. And that's what makes it so good. Mm-hmm. Is that it's never what you're expecting. It's never what you're anticipating. Like, you're anticipating this gory moment and then it's fucking glitter.
I love that. You know, it's very imaginative. It's kind of like when you're a young kid and you just like have this really crazy idea, and as an adult you kind of lose that sometimes. So it's really nice to see the Daniels kind of just like fully go into their childhood wonder and just make a movie with like an adult lens. I love that. That's so great.
It's so genius.
And it really is.
It really is. Like, you can't not at the very least like appreciate what they're doing and just like what they're doing with the film medium. Because they really tried everything. And I really love that they were able to, like, pay homage to, like, you know, certain films. Like, certain film styles with, like, the fighting scenes. And then, like, the universe where she's, like, this famous actress. And it just shifts the genre so easily. And, like, that whole, like, universe where she's an actress was so beautiful. And I love that they shot it differently. And like, you can see the camera go from like
16 by 9 to like just more of a square frame. And then the shutter speed slows down and it becomes all fuzzy and like romantic and shit. Like, it's just so like well crafted. Like, they really know what it needs in order to like, what technical things you need in order to like create a mood.
Yeah. Yeah.
That universe had its own tone, and it had its own color story, and it had every world had its own tone and color story, which is so wild. Mm-hmm. But that universe was definitely like slowed down, and it felt very like intimate and personal, and I loved that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, I like how we could tell what world they were in just by their body language.
Mm-hmm.
That's testament to the actors. I just, again, expert, all of them.
Yeah, it's just such a, like, the range that each of them has. Because, like, what was asked of them to perform these roles, specifically with Michelle Yeoh, Ki Hui Kwan, and Stephanie Su, like, they had to go from, like, one extreme emotion to another. Like, they had to go from, like, devastated and depressed to, like, anxious to, like, angry to, like, an action hero to just fucking excited. And they were all able to do it so seamlessly and so flawlessly. Like, even the moments where, like, Waymond is, like, switching. He's going from, like, himself in the original universe to, like, his alpha Waymond. And he just, like, turns it, like, immediately. The camera doesn't shift from him or anything. He just turns it on. And it's so good.
It's a really great showcase for them as actors that they can literally do anything. I shared it on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and it's Stephanie Hsu's screen test.
Uh-huh.
And it's phenomenal. Like, she's just sitting in a chair, and it's her body. She's like lounging in the chair, and it's a speech she gives when she's dressed in that Elvis costume and with the wig and all that. And so that's the speech that she's giving, and it's you can clearly see why that was the role for her. She's excellent. And even when that screen test, I was like, oh yeah, she can play whatever role she wants. Any role she wants, she can do it, clearly. And this, I mean, we know Michelle Yeoh is great. We knew that. Mm-hmm. But it's so great for her. I'm happy for her that she finally has the opportunity to show that to people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about that. And then Ki Hui Kwan, oh my God, he could play whatever role he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for him and his career. That's going to take off. I'm manifesting for him. He's going to be in Loki season 2. I'm very excited for him.
He is?
Yes, girl. I don't know if he's going to play. It doesn't matter. It's fine. Yeah. It's just, I'm so... I really hope it doesn't stall. Like, I love Lupita Nyong'o, but she really can't get anything. She won an Oscar, and she really didn't get anything much from that. At least, like, not to the caliber of what she was doing. So I really hope that doesn't happen for these three, because... I just don't want that.
Well, Stephanie Hsu came from Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So even if things stall in Hollywood, she's earned her
place. She deserves to be a star. She needs to be on all the posters.
I
remember Stephanie Hsu from Girl Code. Because I don't know if you guys ever watched Girl Code, but... they had, like, the comedians commenting on, like, Nicole Byer and all of them commenting on. And then, like, as they were talking, they'd have, like, reenactments of what was happening. And Stephanie Hsu was one of those actors doing the reenactments.
Shut up. I don't remember that.
So fast forward to her and was it Black Panther or something? No. Not Black Panther. Shang-Chi. And I was like, oh, my God, it's her. I love it. So it's really funny to see... old episodes of Girl Code, and she's on there.
Which is funny because Joy was almost played by Awkwafina.
Mm-hmm. Which would have been a completely different movie.
Yeah.
I think she could have done it because I saw The Farewell, and that's a really good movie, and she's really great in that. But it just would have
been like Awkwafina.
It would have been a really just a different dynamic, especially if they had gone with Jackie Chan as well, who was supposed to be originally 4. It was supposed to be like Father Sons, and completely different movie. But I'm really glad that they got Michelle Yeoh and was like, okay, no, we need to change this. Because if we got Michelle Yeoh, she needs to be the focal point. And props to the Daniels for seeing that, like, we got to switch this up. Love that.
Also, props to the Daniels for writing a great mother-daughter story and being two men.
I know. Well, I was listening to an article, an interview with those two, and they were saying that, like, they didn't approach it as mother-daughter. They just approached it as a relationship. And they approached it as, like, I know what it was like to struggle with my mom. And I wouldn't struggle with, like, being, you know, an immigrant in the country and all these other things. So he's like, they just happened to be a mother-daughter. So I think that's why it feels universal, because they didn't make it so much like it's mother-daughter. It's like, and I read another thing too, that like, it's relatable in the sense that people related to Michelle Yeoh as like an older woman contemplating life, all these things I could have done, the past not taken. Like, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at it from a mother-daughter aspect, but I watched, when we rewatched it, I thought, oh yeah, I'm in Stephanie's shoe. I understand that, because I have a Mexican family and I don't always communicate with them as much. And when she's trying to speak to her grandfather in Chinese, I was like, oh, that's the Mexican family. I speak as little as I can. I try, and they're probably saying things about me, and that's fine. But I related so much to her in that moment that I didn't even clock it the first time.
I also think what helps make it universal is Michelle Yeoh's Evelyn's character's relationship to her father.
Yes.
It comes from a father-daughter to a daughter, a mother-daughter relationship. And the fact that it's just parent relationships in general.
Yeah.
And I love they added that too. They added that aspect of her dad to make it seem like, oh, like, you are how you are because of how you were raised, you know? Like, it makes it all make sense. Love that.
Generational trauma.
Yes!
I've already decided that when we get together next month for the Oscars, one night we are watching, I'm making you guys watch The Goonies.
Here we go with the making us again.
Yep. Goonies. You listen to our Avatar podcast.
I'm going
to
fall asleep.
An issue, sure. But I don't care. It's The Goonies.
I'm going to be on my phone.
Just to spot you. Goonies. This is Harry Potter all over again. You're going to have to watch the movie.
If you force me to watch like Harry scared. Potter.
So we just started living together, and she was like, first things first, sit down. I'm like, okay.
And I'm sorry, did you enjoy?
I didn't care if I'm in. Together? Say it again.
Did you enjoy our time together watching those movies?
I mean, you were like into it, and I was like on the outside. The first couple, I was like, this is stupid. But the last like two, I was like, oh, this is getting interesting. So it took a while to get there, but whatever.
It's different watching it not at the age when they came out. Yeah. Because then you're like,
because the first one, I was like, this is so hokey and like, okay. You're a wizard, Harry. Cool.
It was for kids, you know.
But yeah, the last two, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. Now we get the nitty gritty. This is cool. And I had seen Prisoner of Azkaban, right?
Yes.
I had seen, okay, so side note, I had seen that on a church trip, which is hilarious. My mom did not like me to see those movies. But I went on a youth group trip to Schlitterbahn. It was so fun.
Oh my God.
And we went swimming all one day at the park. And then the next day we went to the movies, and everyone in the group was like a fan of the movies. And I was not. Joy, where'd you go?
There she is.
I don't know what happened. Sorry.
Okay. You're fine. So everyone in the group was a fan of the movies. I, again, was not allowed to watch them. So, I didn't tell my, did I tell her? Well, maybe not. I don't know. Whatever. So we went and I saw it and I was like, I have no idea what's going on. Because what number is the Prisoner movie?
It's 3.
Okay. I was so confused. And everyone around me was like into it. And so I was like, I don't want to ask because I don't want to be the annoying. But like, what does this mean? What does this mean? So I just sat there and absorbed it. And I was like, okay. I mean, this looks cool, I guess. And then I think that was the one that was directed by Alfonso Cuarón, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's why. That makes all the sense.
That's why
it looks cool, but I did not understand one thing. And so then when I watched it again with Anna, I was like, oh, I remember this. Oh, that makes sense now. It all clicked.
Oh, my God.
At least it was only the third one. I went to go see the premiere of the 6th one with some people who had never seen a single Harry Potter movie. And they were on the way to the theater. They're like, okay, so tell us what this was about.
And oh, was my like, God.
See, I wasn't going to do that. So I was like, I'll just shut up and sit. Because they were into it. Like, they were like, oh, my God. I was like, okay.
It's like, how do you explain the relevant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The relevant information out of 5 movies of lore. And
that's a lot. That's a lot.
It was rough.
Oh my god.
Fun night though.
Why was it fun? Tell us, deets. Go.
Well, so I picked up my friends. No, we're not doing this.
Oh my god.
So a theme about this movie that I like, getting back to the movie, is strength. I like that. I keep forgetting her name. Evelyn is like strong and how she's like, you know, in charge of the laundry, and she's in charge of the family, and she's trying to be, you know, a good mom, and even though she's not really sure how to do that and all this other stuff. But then also I love how they display Wayman's strength and how he's also strong, but just in a different way. I love that. I didn't even catch it the first time. I was just, that scene where he is telling her, like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the, oh my god, my brain just emptied. I'm so sorry. Like, there's a scene of those two, and they're talking, and he, when he's going to go talk to Jamie Lee Curtis, and he's like, I got this, and she's like, what did my dumb husband do? And he's like, you know, just talk to her. You know, he approaches it in his way that is so different from hers, but this just as strong, and I love that display.
And it's so nice to see it as like a counterpoint, because like Joy is like so deep in her, what, how do you pronounce it, nihilism, I don't know,
nihilism,
thank you, I don't know English, so deep in her nihilism that like everything sucks, nothing is worth it, there's no point to anything. And then like to have him like kind of, he doesn't directly like pull her out of that, but he teaches Evelyn, and Evelyn sees the worth of that kind of mindset through Waymond, and so that way that's how she's able to pull her back out. And it's just so like, it's so nice to see people be nice and like that be like valued, because a lot of the times people are like, yeah, oh, life is shitty, you should just like be shitty back, or just like, it's just, it is how it is. Well, no, like, yes, in general, life sucks and it's hard, but what did the movie tell you? There's pockets of good stuff if you appreciate the good stuff. And what's so weird is that, like, I've thought of this for a long time. I'm like, nothing matters. But, like, not, it's like the meme where it's like there's two people sitting on the train, and he's like, nothing matters but sad. And then the other side is like, nothing matters but not sad. Because, like, really, nothing matters. So, like, do whatever you want and just enjoy your life. And just, like, if you have 5 minutes of happiness, just, like, appreciate it and take advantage of it. Because, you know, you never know. You never know what happens afterwards.
In big things and in small things. Like, I was listening to the NPR Pop Culture Pop Happy Hour, and they were talking about this. And they were saying that, like, you know, sometimes life can be hard and all these other things. And so what gets you going can be as big as, you know, being there for your family, or, like, well, I can't leave this world because I really want to have pizza again. Or I really want to see, like, one of the guys was like, I just really want to see Lord of the Rings again. So, like, it's little things like that. Like, it could be grander, it can be smaller, but as long as it's something that, like, just sets you on the right, I think that's really cool.
I was just watching this interview. Again, hi, I'm a nerd. I also watch Critical Role, another D&D actual play. And the DM, Matt Mercer, was in an interview, and he was talking about how, like, how impactful the fans have been. And he's like, during the first season when they were first, or during the first campaign, when they were first streaming on Twitch, he was like, you know, a couple months in, we got an email from this guy who was like, I was going to kill myself. I had a plan. I had a note. I had everything ready. And then I happened to click on your stream, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, I want to see what happens next week. And I put it off for a week. And then I was like, oh, that was interesting, I want to see what happens next week. And he's like, and that kept happening for a few weeks until I was like, I no longer, like, this is no longer my plan anymore. And like, yeah, shit's powerful. Like,
it really is, because you never know, like, what, like, you never know how other people value some things. Like, some people value, like, a YouTube series. Some people value, like,
quality time with their loved ones. Like, you just never know. Like, it's also why, like, truly, like, can we really, like, other than, like, things that, like, if you're doing something bad, you're doing something bad. But, like, can you really judge someone that you, like, just met, like, not knowing who they are or where they come from or, like, what they do and how they feel? Because, like, you just really, like, never know, like, what's going on.
Communication, I guess, is the key.
Yeah, and being able to, like...
Evelyn didn't want to or know how to talk to Joy, but Wayman knew that words were his strength. So, you know, that's why he went to go talk to Deidre, and that's why he knew that he could fix it. And yeah, words are important.
I love words, and that's all.
Yeah. That's right.
I saw a TikTok of someone who was analyzing the movie. I should have saved it, but I didn't. They were talking about how in the first half of Evelyn's journey, when she's doing, like, her fighting, it's all very offense. She's on the offense and she's attacking. Mm-hmm. But after that talk with Wayman, and she's trying to stop Joy from entering the bagel, it all becomes defensive. And it all becomes in order to stop all of the fighting. So that's when we see her do the big thing with her hands, and then she opens it up for, like, a hug.
Ugh.
It's like, it's all she ever, the little details.
Yeah. All she ever wanted was just, like, a hug, just like an embrace, like an embrace of self, an embrace of, like, the physical, an embrace of, like, who they are and who they're not. Like,
I think that's a really great, like, if you compare that scene to the very first one where they're in the parking lot, and, like, you can tell that, like, that Evelyn wants to say something to Joy, but she just, like, you're getting fat. Like, she doesn't have the words yet to say what she needs to say, or even, like, doesn't even know what she needs to say, but she knows that it's something else she has to get to her, and... To see that, and then fast forward to the end where they're talking in the parking lot again at night. It's good stuff. It's, you know, when that, in that moment, you see, like, you know, she was with Wayman for a reason, to be a love for Joy, and how their love together is, like, just all fits. Ugh, it's just so good.
It's also, you know, when she says you're getting fat, it's also just this acknowledgement that these conversations aren't really commonplace
mm-hmm.
for families with immigrant parents. Like, mm-hmm. it's a different kind of relationship. But Joy wasn't raised. She was raised in America, so she, you know, sees everyone else having these kinds of relationships and conversations with their parents, and I don't know, it was just done so well.
It's really interesting how, like, the immigrant experience of it all, like, we all have truly lived such similar childhoods, such similar, like, young adult selves, like, with our immigrant parents, regardless of, like, the country that they immigrated from, you know, it's so, like, bonding, sometimes in, like, a harsh truth way, and sometimes in, like, a good way. And, you know, they came here for a reason, and the reason was to have a better life, and, like, their expectations and their idea of what that looks like is so different once, like, we're here and we lived it, and, like, we see the repercussions of it. So, like, it's hard to be able to communicate that. And then, like with Evelyn, like, she has to kind of come to terms with it once she sees the potential of where her life could have been in every other universe. Like, she has to admit that, like, oh, like, was I really the worst one? Am I really the worst Evelyn? Like, and it's hard for them to acknowledge that and just be like, this is not what my expectations were. This is not where I wanted to be. This is not where I wanted my kids to be. And have that because they didn't have the tools to communicate or like emotionally regulate themselves, it comes off as like defensive or like you're getting fat or like you suck or like you're doing terrible versus like, hey, I want you to do better. I care about you. I just don't know how to fucking tell you. So I'm going to do it in a way that hurts you because I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to communicate because you communicate so differently than I do. And seeing their progression throughout the movie and seeing her be able to communicate in her own way and them kind of come to the understanding at the end was just so, so beautiful.
I also think from experience that, you know, your parents, the line is always, the party line is always, you know, I want my kids to have a better life than I have. But when your kids get it, it's hard. I don't know, they feel left behind. They feel like, well, that's not my, like, they have a harder time relating because you are having a better life than they had. I'm not going to get into that, actually, because I'm going to start crying and it's going to be a whole thing. So instead, I'm going to go to this note that I have, because you were talking about how she's the worst Evelyn. I wrote a note saying, I hope my other selves appreciate how bad I am.
You're welcome, other selves.
I do it for you. I'm a failure for you.
Shut up.
For you.
You're welcome. Not a failure. Whew. There's always something else.
So there's a worse one of me? Oh, God.
God, no. I have to be the worst. I will not accept that.
Oh, man. I truly don't, like, I'm not even going to lie when I'm like, lives were changed. Lives were changed when I saw this movie. Like, first of all, I take personal offense to the fact that her daughter's name was Joy. I was personally attacked.
Joy.
The entire goddamn movie was a personal attack on me.
It really was.
For multiple reasons that you all know. But first of all, having us have the same name. Also, like, I know I mentioned it before on here, but, like, the greatest irony of my fucking life is that my name is Joy and happiness and whatever. And God damn it, I am just such a depressed bitch sometimes. Like, how? Make it make sense.
Yes, Joy, that's true. But also, you radiate so much joy, it's annoying, actually. So your name is actually perfect. Like,
you are your
name. I know, I'm not saying you're not depressed because, you know, same. But, like, at least I can speak for Ron on this, I'm sure. At least for us, you radiate so much joy that your name, you are your namesake for sure. For sure. And I do too because my first three letters of my name are C-R-Y. So there you go.
One of the best things I learned in therapy was both things can be true. You can be depressed and also be joy incarnate. But one of the first things I said when Crystal and I saw this in April, we walked out of it and we're crying in the parking lot talking about it. I go, oh my God, Joy saw this by herself. And I just instantly wanted to like go find you and hug you. But you had you already moved at that point?
Yeah, I was in San Antonio.
We were this close to driving all the way to San Antonio.
You should have driven, bitch. I was like all alone.
No. I couldn't have.
A whole new city.
After I saw that movie, I had like several breakdowns in a matter of like, damn it, I thought I was going to get there and I did it. It was shit. It was a lot. I honestly, it took me that long to rewatch it when we watched it a couple weeks ago. I was like, I am barely ready to rewatch this movie. Let's rewatch it. I think because I knew what was going to happen, I was able to absorb a little bit more and see hear the score and see the circle motifs more often. But it didn't hit any heart any less than it did before. I think the first time it was just like sensory overload. So I was like, I don't even know what to do right now, but broken, unwell.
But like we said a few weeks ago, or on our Avatar podcast, is I can love too hard and too much, mm-hmm. and I literally had to stop myself from jumping in my car and driving down to be like, are you okay? Do you need a hug? Because I would have, but I was like, no, that's silly. You can call her. There's this invention called FaceTime that is miraculous. But yeah, I definitely thought of you as soon as we walked out of it, and I felt so bad.
This movie was so rude. How dare this movie? It was rude. It attacked every mother-daughter relationship ever, first of all. It was like Lady Bird Part 2, but like way worse.
Yeah, and like any parent, parent and child, honestly. Any misunderstood parent and child, which is basically all of them to some degree.
I don't know. Do I know anyone with like a healthy parent child relationship?
It's hard, man.
I mean, God bless you if you do, honestly. You're lying.
They have to be lying.
I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you. But like even when like I'd like to think, no, I know that like I have a fairly positive relationship with my mother, and at the same time, like this shit still hurts.
Yeah, that speaks to how it resonates on so many different levels, you know? It's not just one facet, one relationship. It affects everybody. And that, again, that's like so well written, so well executed. Like, I feel like all we're doing is praising this movie, and that's really all it is.
What else can we say? Have a single bad note.
No.
There's nothing I wish was done differently. There's nothing I wish was more or less of.
Well, I think maybe the one thing I don't like is I did not look at all at the paper cuts.
Oh my God.
I'm someone who, like, when I see people, like, getting hurt, I feel it. So that entire time I didn't look. Anytime they're, like, injuring themselves, I can't look. It's just, I can't do it. So that, maybe that.
When she did the hand sanitizer in her eyes, I was like,
oh, no.
But I love that it's doing stupid, unexpected things that gets you to jump. Like, that was so smart because then you have this weird movie of people stapling things to their forehead, shoving a ward up their ass. Like, also, I love that A24 is selling the butt plug candle. Like, they're selling for it as a candle.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And I want one so bad. They also sell the hot dog fingers.
I saw that, yes.
And they also just started selling Little Rock Friends with the eyeballs.
They had those, like, when the movie first came out, like, that summer, they had all of that. But I think they sold out. And, like, they had to replenish everything because it was, like, phenomenon.
I got a homemade one.
Phenomena. No? Okay. No. I'm just gonna. Whoo!
No, I heard you. Everyone heard you.
Yeah, but no one joined in.
Oh, I didn't know it was
He's turtling.
This is embarrassment.
Let me see what my notes if I missed anything. Hold on. The circle motif. I love the circle motif. I like the shot through the mirror at the very beginning. Very inventive. Would you go, okay, I know the answer probably, but like, would you go along with if someone was like, hey, this is a lot of universes. You got to put your shoe on the opposite foot and you just got to go. Would you do it?
Yeah. Put me in coach.
Put me in coach.
Sure. I love an adventure, so I'm down.
I have not been a reader and watcher of fantasy shit my whole life for them to be like, magic's real. And me be like,
nah.
Okay, weirdo. Like, I'm going to go this way.
Right. Like,
yeah,
right.
I know.
I feel like I would be a little bit like Evelyn, like, shut up. No, this isn't real. And then when I'm in it, I'm like, okay, now I got to do this. Because I'm always, like, cynical about stuff. Anyways.
Realistic about it, that's for sure. You'd be like, you're so fucking dumb. That's not...
I'm like, shut up. Yeah, and then, like,
show me.
What if I do put my shoes on the other foot? What will happen? And then I do it, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, I feel like...
Backspace.
I feel like curiosity would get the better of you, and you'd do it really anyways.
And then, because I have, like, severe fear of missing out, I would not... I would want to do it just in case, like... Because, okay, the idea of universes, to me, different timelines, like, is very exciting, and the fact that... I think that they're maybe not exactly like this movie, but there are different like splinters off and things in your life. And I may have thought of like, what would happen if I did this or blah, blah, blah. Maybe a little too much to think about it, but I think it's very interesting. And I sometimes am a little sad that I don't know what's actually happening in those timelines. I would like to know. This is why Loki was so interesting to me, but whatever.
I have a note. And I tried to look it up here. I think I found that there are over 25 different hairstyles for just Michelle Yeoh.
Love it.
In this film. Nice. And the costume designer was saying between Evelyn and Joy, there were probably around 40 plus costumes for the both of them.
Oh, like, I bet.
And it's not nominated for makeup and hairstyling.
A travesty, truly.
I don't, like... Stephanie Hsu's hair in this is so phenomenal.
And her makeup is so creative and fun. It's like, it's just so cute. Like, some of those styles are really wearable, too.
Mm-hmm. All of it is so fun, and it, I just, baffles me that Elvis is nominated, but this is not.
I know, right? Oof.
Oh, God.
And production design. It's not nominated for production design.
Which is so dumb. I mean, come on. Butt plug awards. Give it an award.
Butt plug award. We had all the different universes had such a unique, distinct feel. And then it's all taking place in a tax office. Like, the most boring, mundane place was turned into this, like, super fun.
Just the way that their apartment's decorated is really great, said design as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I so could, like, go and touch everything and, like, look at all of the detail in there. I was telling Crystal, if I were to work on a film set, I think props and production design would probably be where I would have the most fun. Because I'd be like, you want a table full of junk and then a bunch of receipts? I'm on it. I didn't have a cash register growing up for fun. Like, I was for this.
I think if I couldn't, like, be an actor, I think I would be... like a casting director. I think the idea of finding people to be in the, like, was so interesting to me.
That's also on my list of things I'd like to do.
Not a Broadway star.
Aren't you chicken?
Broadway.
Sing for us. Go. Ready?
Nice.
I tried to earlier and you all left me hanging with the manananas.
You don't need us. We're not, this isn't Dream Girls, okay?
We are Dream Girls. No, look, it can be.
I would like it to be.
No, Joy can't sing, so we can't do that.
That's why I'm a backup dancer, bitch.
She's the hype girl.
Exactly. Yeah. No, she's going to dress you for your performance as you can look bomb.
Yeah, that's right. I'll dress you. I'll do your makeup, but you got to do your own hair. I don't know how to do that. That's not me. That's not for me.
I can't do hair either.
I like how Wayman is at the top of the stairs like Jack and Titanic. Love that. Whenever Evelyn's a movie star and he's in a gorgeous dress. Yes. He's at the top of the stairs and I was like, Jack?
They used real Michelle Yeoh footage for that.
Yes! That was so great! Oh my God. It made me want to go watch Crazy Rich Asians again, which I will for her. This movie is just so fucking great. Like, what else can we say?
I love that this is a story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And while she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she's sad. Let me tell you.
Poetic. That was beautiful.
Shut the fuck up. Music lyricist of the year.
What was the scene where they're reading? Was that the he was reading lyrics.
They were in the van, and he's like telling about divorce, and he's like, he says to her, hold on, let me get it. Your clothes never wear the same. Well, your hair never falls in quite the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's trying to be like, isn't this like, and she's like, what? Cause her brain's like in another universe. So she's like, what are you talking about?
I didn't notice that the first time around. And it made
me. I immediately recognized her. I was like, because I love me a one hit wonder, especially if from that time. So, absolutely. By Story of a Girl by 9 Days. Good times.
Love that.
Do you want to go through categories or do we have anything else?
Let's category.
Okay, let's category. Sorry. Best picture, Avi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Next. Best directors.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed. Best actress, obviously. Yes.
Duh. Okay, bitch. Like, I have not seen Tar yet. But I really doubt I'm going to change my mind. For me, I haven't seen Tar. So when I see Tar, I'll let you know, obviously, because we're going to record about it. But
I'm like, you're not going to root for Andrew Riseborough? Oh, my God.
You got to root for her.
Fuck that shit. No. No. Really, I was rooting for Ana de Armas. No. That shit is trash, too.
Did you watch it?
No, girl.
I
am not supporting that trash. I'm not supporting one other person, another group of people tarnishing a poor dead woman's name. Like, can you leave her the fuck alone?
I haven't seen it either, but like, sometimes people on Twitter will talk about it and they'll describe a scene and I'm like, what?
Oh.
That's in the movie?
Yeah, I read the reviews and like, obviously the reviews were giving away like scenes and plot points, and I was like, this is disgusting, and you all should be ashamed.
Like, it's like stuff I don't even want to repeat. It was that gross.
Yeah, it's that bad.
Ugh. So, anyways, blah blah blah.
Anyways, Michelle Yeoh,
best supporting actor. Yeah, he's gonna be an Oscar winner, and I'm so excited for him. I can't wait. He's gonna win. I can't wait. Best supporting actress. Here we go.
Well, okay. That bitch.
So, Stephanie Hsu, love that she's there. I was, when they announced her name, I was like screaming. And by screaming, I was like slightly cheering because I was at work. and even though I love Jamie Lee Curtis, I don't think she should be here.
Nah.
She did a good job. She understood the assignment, and that's fine. But I think this is more of a career award than a performance award, which is what they do, and sometimes it's annoying. But, I'm really glad they both got there because I honestly thought it was going to be just Jamie Lee Curtis, but Stephanie Hsu here is great.
I'm torn. I'm Natalie Imbruglia's torn about this category.
I mean, none of them are going to win. It's going to be Angela Bassett. That's what I think.
I know, but I kind of still want Stephanie Hsu to win.
This is the nomination is her win. She is so new to Hollywood right now. Mm-hmm. It's very much like Austin Butler, where he's also new. It's ingenue-esque type stuff.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
I hate that, though, that the nomination is a win. Like, no, a win should be a win.
Right, but I mean, that's how it is.
I know, but I hate it.
Yeah,
I do respect that Jamie Lee Curtis is spending her circuit time talking about Michelle Yeoh.
Yes, that as it should be. Yeah. Yes,
and I feel like if she wins, she's gonna just talk about Michelle Yeoh the whole time, which is fine.
That's also fine.
Yeah,
I don't think she's gonna win.
I don't think so either.
I think we know who's gonna win, and I even think I know who the backup would be, but I don't think it's Jamie Lee Curtis.
I haven't seen The Whale yet, so maybe I'll wait till I see The Whale, but I have someone who should be in this category who is not.
Do you want to tell us now or later?
Do you want me to tell you now or do you want to wait till I watch
it? Is it one of the movies we're talking about?
No.
Who?
Lashana Lynch and The Woman King. She is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. What she's doing in that entire movie is astonishing. She is equal parts badass as well as, like, sensitive woman, and like what she, everything she's doing, every scene she's in, she's so commanding, yet she's like caring and kind. Oh my God. She's a revelation. I knew she was great before, but the Woman King being left out completely is super sad to me because performances across the board, great. But Lashana Lynch, she did not come to play. Oh my God. Lashana Lynch. That's who, that should be here instead of maybe Jamie Lee Curtis. But I haven't seen The Whale yet, so I don't know.
I haven't seen The Whale, but I did love her performance in The Menu.
I heard she was the best part in The Menu.
I believe she was also in, what was the one with Regina King? Oh my God, the show, the comic book show.
Oh, Watchmen.
Yes. She was also excellent in that too. I believe that was her.
Great in that.
Yeah.
I have big reservations about The Whale, and I don't really want to watch it, but I feel like I need to in order to talk shit about it. So I might just do a hate watch if it's for free.
All right. Best original screenplay.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes, bitch.
Obvi. What?
It's the most original.
It really is. Yeah. Out of all of these, I've only seen three. Yes, agreed.
Hold on. Who else is nominated?
The Banshees of Inisherin, The Fableman's Tar, and Triangle of Sadness.
Well, bitch, this is the winner.
It is.
It really is. Who has better lines than this? Who is more creative than this? Who is more original?
Maybe else. Nope, but it's not here, so whatever.
Oh, shit, you're right. Yeah. Right. That would that'd be the only challenger.
Right. Best film editing, obviously, yes. Costume design, obviously, yes. I think this is original song. Okay, here we go, the original song. I like the song. I think it fits really well. It's a good, like, epilogue to everything that was happening towards the end, but it's at the end credits and I kind of hate that. I like when a song is in the movie, when it's meaningful to the story and it makes sense. A credit song to me is like not the real song, but whatever.
But that's the way it is.
I know, and I hate it. But like I think with Lift Me Up was the same way.
And yes, because it was at the end. Yeah.
And same with Hold My Hand with Top Gun Maverick. So I guess it doesn't even matter.
Hold My Hand wasn't in the movie.
Nachi was in the movie. So by default, I'm going to cheer for that one.
Wait, I thought Hold My Hand was in the movie.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember hearing it.
Applause. What was applause? I don't know.
Applause is tell it like a woman is like a series of like short films or something, and it's about women. I actually don't know, but it's not like a cohesive movie. It's like a whatever. Susan Lucci of the Oscars, Diane Warren is here, so there you go. Nachu is the only one that's in the movie, so by default I'm rooting for that one. We can hear you.
Sorry, I
was best original score. I'm gonna go with yes, even though I love The Banshees of Inisherin. I think Sun Lux does a really good job with the inventiveness of it. Yeah,
agree. Yeah.
I think this is the only movie that we can honestly say deserves to be in every single category and could actually win.
Even the ones it's not nominated for.
Yeah, best animated feature, best documentary shorts. Literally everything. It could, yeah, it's just that good. It's just that good.
I was thinking about it while I was rewatching the movie. I was like, I could even justify this for cinematography because some of those mirror shots, some of those like chopped, edited shots were really interesting and really good.
Yeah. There's nothing I love more than a mirror shot.
Yeah.
Especially if it's done well. One of my favorite shots ever is from the movie Columbus. His name is escaping me.
Oh my God, Love of Your Life. What's his name?
No, not John Cho. Of the director.
Oh.
Anyway, there's a shot in a hotel room where she's sitting on the bed and you see her face through the bathroom mirror of the door that's open, and he's sitting on the couch and you see his face through the mirror of the vanity, of like the dresser vanity. So they're talking to each other through the mirror. It's fucking gorgeous.
Find it so we can post it.
Yeah, for real.
On it like a bonnet.
Like a bonnet. Yeah, so we really liked this movie. We can do our rankings. I'm pretty sure you know what they are.
I don't know. Mine might be unique.
Unique? Sorry.
Alien superstar. Starting with bitch, that's the only way we're going to see the concert is us singing it to each other.
It really is a miracle that we saw Beyonce that time.
Yeah, honestly.
It was God in heaven. Even though we were freezing from the AC, we were so high up. And I was like almost falling forward because the American Airlines Center is not, not American Airlines Center, was it? Cowboy Stadium is not meant for concerts. Worth it. Well, I'm a little bummed it was her and Jay-Z and not just her, but whatever.
Right? I wish it was just her. But okay, I guess.
Although I was going pretty hard on those Jay-Z songs, I will admit.
Yeah, don't lie, bitch. You were standing up for all those songs.
I was. But seeing everyone sit down as soon as he got a solo song was hilarious. Hilarious.
Oh my god.
Anyways.
All right. Wait, let's go first. And I'm going to make it up as I go along.
You don't have it right now, Joy.
I mean, I do.
And I will go. Okay, so at the bottom, it's Avatar, The Way of Water. Yes. Then Elvis. Then All Quiet on the Western Front. The Banshees of Inisherin is in second. And of course, number one is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Oh no, I think you copied my paper.
I saw you write it down. I was like, same.
I think you both copied my paper. So.
Lies.
Yeah. I copied y'all's for sure.
I wonder if this is one of those years where our lists are going to be identical.
You know what's interesting, though? It's like, as a clear winner as we have,
all these
movies are so different. How can you compare everything to Banshees or even Banshees to Elvis? Like, they're just so different. So interesting.
Very interesting.
We love diversity. So yeah, I think that's it. I think we're done. I didn't cry as much as I thought I was going to do, so yay me. I did it. I made it through. Snaps for me. And I guess you do.
Yeah, we survived.
Don't snap for the worst version of Anna.
Dang, bitch.
Shut up. Oh my god. I'm going to punch you guys with love.
How does that work? Is it like your fist and then like glitter comes out?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be me yelling encouragement at you because I know it's the only way it works. You're doing great, bitch. You're fucking killing it. Good job.
I'm killing something, yeah. I don't know about it, but all right.
I mean, whatever it is. Killing the pizza you put in the oven.
I really had a craving for crab rangoons for some reason. I don't know why. And so I got them on the way home. Oh, my God. They were so good. Oh, man. Oh, man. With some, like, chicken fried rice. Ugh.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, shit.
That's it was good. Yummy. That's enough. I think we're done.
I think so.
Okay. There will only be one episode next week. But then we'll be back to two.
We got shit we gotta do, so
yeah,
that's happening. So yeah, thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.